All right, everybody can have a seat. I was at work this week, and the idea is what I get for these sermons. They come from the Holy Spirit. A lot of times I'm shown things as I go through or walk along or something's laid on my heart. There are times I don't really understand it. There are times I really don't want to walk towards it, but it seems like I end up having to go there anyway. And I was at work this week, and I'm an educator at the Greenville Hospital System. I work on a couple of different units. And I was walking through one of the units. I've been there a couple months. I've gotten to know the people, and there's this real, she's an older nurse, real bubbly, and I heard her talking, and it just wasn't in the right tone of voice for her. I'd never really heard that before. And I heard her talking, and she was talking about her daughter that was traveling with her work. She had started a new job, and some of you may know this. I just came off of like a 6-year job where I traveled. I flew like 30 weeks out of the year. I was all over the place. So we started talking, and I started trying to tell her a little bit more about business traveling, and it was aggravating, but wasn't that really that scary. That wasn't what she was upset about. Her daughter, this is a new job for her because she spent the last 5 years going through a stalking event. She basically became a prisoner. This person she had to change her telephone number multiple times. She had to change addresses. She had to change jobs. This person stalked her at work, at home. This young lady in her 20s developed PTSD through all this. And it finally ended, and she's trying to start forward with this job. And Robin, the nurse, told me that she should have done more, meaning her, the mom, that she should have protected her more. And it struck a nerve with me. Some of you know this, some of you don't. My ex-wife and I had a daughter who passed away almost 20 years ago. And I was racked with guilt after she passed away. My life has been spent most of my adult life with helping people that are sick. I've been brought in to assess people. I've had people come into the emergency room that I've been able to, and I'm no doctor, but the Lord helped me to pick up on what's going on with them, and I couldn't see it in my own daughter. And after she passed away, I carried that guilt around for years and years. And hearing what was going on in that mother's voice, that sound, I recognized it instantly. Lord laid it on me to pray for this mother and this daughter. I typed it up. I gave it to the mom. And one of the things in it was, and this, I wish I had thought of this line myself, but it didn't come from me, to help this young lady realize that her scars are not marks of shame. They are badges of victory that show that she survived what was meant to destroy her. And it got laid on my heart this week to talk about the scars that we all carry. All of us carry emotional, spiritual scars one way or another. And what causes them? Usually some type of sin. Ours, we make bad decisions, or somebody else's, that we're involved in those decisions. And life's tragedies, deaths, which all come back to that original sin. These scars are very, very painful. They don't heal like a normal physical scar will. How many of us have hurt somebody and hadn't meant to? I have. I'll be the first to tell you. Whenever I get up here and I talk about you, I mean us. I got a list a mile long of things I wish I could have took back. How many of us have been hurt by someone else, though? Yeah? And how many of us have just had bad things happen in our lives that it's not really anybody's fault, but it just happens? Yeah. And that's how I got those three things, because I started looking back through my life, and I was, one, two, three. Yeah, I covered all of them in everything that happened in my life. And you look at some of the things in this world that can cause bad stuff to happen. Nearly 700,000 cases of child abuse a year reported in this country. 40 to 50% divorce rate right off the top. This world is hurting. Over 6.6 million people, I looked this up about that young lady, stalked in the U.S. every year. That's what's reported. Bullies at school and at work, and it don't last. Like when Shane and I grew up, if you had a problem with somebody, bullying ended at the bell. Yeah. Or you fight it, and it's done. Now, they're texting you, they're tweeting you, they're Instagramming you and doing everything else. And it wears into your soul. It scratches. It hurts. And it doesn't heal. Because it's no fun being told you're not good enough. It's no fun being told you're ugly. It's no fun being told you don't have the right kind of shoes. We live in a fallen, sin-filled world. It wasn't meant to be like this. But what it is a garden with thorns. Spiritual thorns. And we're out to scratch. We get scratched by it. And God's word is pretty clear on it. And I'm not going to read all this, but Romans 3:23 pretty well says it. We've all sinned. None of us will ever match the glory of God. 1 John, if we say that we hadn't sinned, we're calling God a liar. He don't particularly care for that. Because we all have. We're lying to ourselves if we say that we hadn't. Mac, I wish I could blame you for that one, but that one was me. I got heavy on the clicker.
I hit it the same time you did.
It's Mac's fault. And Paul in Corinthians, common to men. Paul realized we're flawed. Paul was. He spent the first part of his life killing Christians. Paul was a murderer. He took part in St. Stephen's death. He knows we all sin and we all fall short of it. And this world can be very brutal. The people in it can be brutal. Every other living thing in this world, if they kill or they hurt some, they're mating, their food, or is they're trying to get control of their pack. Men don't do that. We hurt for meanness. We kill for meanness. Sometimes the physical scars are a reminder sometimes. The body heals, we go on. Like, I learned a lesson in box cutters when I worked at the Piggly Wiggly in high school. They're very sharp. This scar right down through here tells it. Now whenever I look at it and I'm slicing up vegetables for supper, I get a little smile and I get extra careful. I didn't learn close enough, though, because I have a scar right here for the same thing. Cardboard boxes can be very tough, and they heal. If you bite your tongue or your lip, it heals. If you use those same teeth and mouth, though, and you say some words to somebody, does that heal as fast as the bit tongue does? Or if someone uses their mouth to say something to us, it doesn't heal nearly as fast. And people walk around with those. They walk around with these wounds for years and years. And it's not just us. Bible talks about it too. I just like this. I don't know why, but Lisa found it for me, and I just thought it was so cool. The scars you share become lighthouses for other people. How many times have we tried to keep other people from making the mistakes we've made? I have. Doesn't always work real well, does it? Sometimes we have to learn from falling down, but it still doesn't mean that we don't try to keep people from doing better and to keep them from suffering the pain we suffered. Some of the most famous people in the Bible walked around with emotional scars, some caused by themselves, some caused by others. Background for this verse, King David had took his evening stroll. He found Bathsheba. He ended up really liking Bathsheba. He ended up sending her husband to get killed in the battlefront. God was not pleased. He sent Nathan the prophet to David. And then he told David this story, that there was this big shepherd, had all this stuff. Honey, I'm not going to call you out for that. And he told him to that there was this shepherd that had all these sheep. And there was one little poor farmer that had one sheep. And the guy took that lamb and killed it. And David was mad. He was fighting mad. He was ready to have that person killed. Nathan tells him, it's you. God knows what you did. God knows what you did. And you now have a scar. You now have that scar. It's on you. It's on your family. How many times have we, because I know I've done things that I've hurt others. I've hurt more than others. I've hurt myself too. And I've walked around with that scar. King David was one of the most godly men in the Bible. He wrote the psalm. He wrote it. He slew an 8-foot-tall giant with a rock. He conquered multiple people. He was, God had a relationship with him and Moses unlike any other two people in the Bible. He still did this. He caused this scar himself. Our second person here, Elijah. Elijah had already carried out the miracles against two very evil king, queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And that's where that came. That's where the term Jezebel came from, because she was a heifer. She was a big heifer. She put all the Lord's prophets to the sword. She killed them all, except for Elijah. Elijah returned the favor by killing all the prophets of Baal, which Jezebel did not like. He was on the run. Now, this was a man that had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. He had taken part. The Lord had worked through him to keep it from raining for years. He took a stack of wet, sopping wood. And anybody that's ever camped, you don't make fires too easy from wet wood. But he was tired. He was on the run. How many of us have ever felt like we've been spiritually on the run? That you just want rest. And no matter what the situation, you just want rest. And you doubt. It happens. It happens. We're human. It happens. The Lord sent an angel to tell him, get up and eat. I have more things for you to do. He's telling the heavenly host, I have done your work. I have done the work of the Lord. I have been zealous for you. I have tried. I have done what you wanted me to. And now they're all out to kill me. An emotional scar from a man that was that close to God. I don't know if you realize this. There are two humans mentioned in the Bible. Two. Out of all the godly people in the world that did not die. This was one of them. God's servant, he sent down a chariot for this man, rode into heaven with him. He doubted. He had an emotional scar because he was so tired of what had been done. This is another one that Lisa found for me. I just thought it was just so cool. Daniel slept in a lion's den. There was Peter. Jesus even slept in a storm. No matter what your circumstance, you come over to God and you can rest. You have that confidence. This one is one, the shortest verse in the Bible. This was when Jesus had been told about the death of Lazarus. He comes there and there's Mary, Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And Jesus found out by it and he wept. Our Lord, a perfect, perfect being, he was so overtaken by this suffering that he wept. He cried. He had an emotional, spiritual scar, a scratch. And it was also more than that. It doesn't say quite why he wept. Biblical scholars have talked about it for a long time because he knew Lazarus was going to be up in just a few minutes, up and going. Jesus could have been weeping for all the his love for all the people out there that were suffering. It could also have been that he knew this was going to trigger his own death. This act right here started the Pharisees, their plot against him. And he went ahead. He took that scar. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He got on their radar. And he knew the suffering that he was going to have to undergo. But he did it. Even our Lord has a scar. We are out there in this fallen world. But these scars aren't meant to be shameful. They're meant to show we survived. We made it through this. We are making it through this. Things that we've gone through, we don't need to be ashamed of them. There are ways we can help people. That young lady that was stalked, she shouldn't be ashamed of that. That wasn't her doing. She came through there and she is thriving. Sometimes the world won't see that. God does. God does. There may be times where people are looking down on you for what you have done, what you have been through. They don't see what has changed about you on the inside. God does. God has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. He does give us the free will to make our own decisions, but he will help us with these scars if we let him. He will help us. There's a quote, "Scars remind us where we have been. They don't have to dictate where we're going." And there are times that we look at someone else and we see the way they act, or and we think we know why they have the scars they have. We don't. I used to work with a lady at another hospital, and she had horrible scars on her neck, on her arms, and I didn't understand why. I didn't know what the story was. She ran back into a burning house to try and save her daughter. Those are her scars. Before I knew the meaning why, I had a different view of those. After I knew the meaning why, I thought they were beautiful. And there are scars on the inside that are like that too. Ernest Hemingway wrote, "The world breaks everyone." It does. It breaks us all. And afterwards, many are strong at the broken places. Those scars are not signs of weakness. They are signs of survival and of endurance. And if you're walking around with scars and wounds that hadn't healed, what do you need to do? Ask for help. Lower your pride. Bow your head. Pray. It doesn't have to be fancy. Lord, I'm tired of hurting like this. If it's something you've done, Lord, please help me to do better. If I've hurt someone, help me to make this right. If you've been hurt by someone and you're carrying around that anger, it'll burn you up inside. It will. After my ex-wife and I separated, I was angry. I didn't show it, but I was ticked. I was very ticked. And I was burning myself up. And I had to pray to get past it because I was burning myself alive. Jesus paid the price for us So we can stop remembering what God's already forgotten. There's another part of the story of Lazarus that to me is very powerful in its imagery. Jesus had raised Lazarus, and he was walking around in all those linen strips, and he was all like a mummy, and made me think about how many times has God forgiven us, and we're still wrapped up. We still have our old clothes on, our old bed clothes, our old strips that we can't take off, or we won't take off. Jesus paid our price for us. In Isaiah, and this was after Israel had been conquered. Israel had been taken over. The nation of Israel would not be like it is for another 2,000 years. They had offended God in every way possible. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. God loved us enough to say, he loved those people enough to say, you have offended me, you have taken down my places, you have put up all these idols, I love you. I will heal you. You have to ask. He's knocking, you got to answer that door. And Mark, Jesus didn't come here to heal the healthy. He came here for the sick. And in Romans, the spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set us free. God's word is medicine for us, is a hurting spirit. This isn't a museum. This is a hospital for broken and sick people. This is where we are at. This is what we are. This one was just cool. Again, I wasn't quite sure where to put this at, but it was just so cool that when disbelief comes knocking, go to my word. And those that have heard me preach, you hear me preach three things: relationship, prayer, and the word. In James, in the Psalm, in Matthew, they talked about God's word. The centurion in Matthew had a sick servant. Jesus was going to walk there, and he said, no, my house is not fit for you to be in. You can say the word, and it will happen. God's word, and it has power. It has power with the sick. It has power when you are struggling. It does. God's word still heals in this world today. Corrie Ten Boom, very famous lady. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is a perfect preparation for the future only he can see. God may be sending someone in your life right now that's trying to help you heal. You don't even realize it. It may be somebody that they irritate the fire out of you. Sometimes God gets you a little aggravated in order to get you going. I've had people in my life that I really just wanted to just go away, but they wouldn't. And they helped me in hindsight. It took me in hindsight to see it. But they were there for healing. And he wants to help us. If you come away with anything from this, you can't change your past. You can keep your past from changing you, though, in a negative way. We look at our scars that we have on our spirit. I know in my own case, I started realizing I was a daddy. I wasn't a healthcare professional inside that crib. It took years, but I finally started realizing that. And it's helped me, I think, to help others. And there's something God's laid on my heart right now that I think I'm going to have to try and help a set of parents with. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's what I'm supposed to do. David, he recovered. God forgave him. Elijah got back up because God had 7,000 people in Israel that hadn't bowed down to Baal. before Elijah's journey ended, Jezebel and Ahab were dead. Israel had a resurgence in God. And we all know the story about what happened after Jesus well. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And then after that, the people that tried to hurt Jesus, they thought they did, but they just helped him fulfill what he had come to earth for, to pay the price for all our sins. Our scars can have meaning. You know, there's somebody out there this morning that maybe you have a scar that's not healed. It may be oozing with guilt, shame, anger. It's all right. There is healing. Lord, help me. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. I can't do this. I cannot do this. I need help. Please, help me put one foot in front of another. Sometimes that's our grace for the day, and that's our blessing, being able to put one foot in front of another. And then the next day, a little bit more, and the next day, a little bit more. But God's with us, and he hadn't forgot us. The enemy does what he does and causes so much trouble by separating us from God, creating separation, to think you're alone, to think that no one cares about you, no one loves you. There are people around you that love you and they care about you, and you have a God, we have a God that cares about us. He's there. We just have to reach out to him. And next time you get to feeling like you want to cover up those scars, just remember the lessons learned from them, the ways that you can help, the ways that you have been healed. Because God will probably use you to help someone else. God can heal by himself, but so many times he uses us to heal. Where you're going through the rough patch today, it may be someone else tomorrow. And you're going to feel that thing on your heart about that person that you just got to go to them, you got to talk to them. And it's rough. You don't want to do that. I still pray, Lord, give me the words to say and the courage to say them. But our scars have meanings, and we don't need to let them define who we are, but they can refine us. We're getting ready to stand, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a couple songs, and these altars are open every Sunday. If there's something on your heart, come up here and pray about it. If you don't want to pray in front of others, that's okay too. Pray in your chair. Main thing is just pray. Open up. Talk to the Lord. Anyone that's here this morning that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that he came to earth for us, God in man form, lived, died for us, took all of our sins, rose on the third day and came up to heaven, come up here. I will pray with you. Because I walked up almost 24 years ago and had somebody pray with me the same thing. We've all had that. And that's the first step. Gonna get everybody to stand, please. Heavenly Father, these scars that we have, Father, you know the reasons for them. Some of us have scars that are healed, and maybe we're ashamed of. Some of us have scars that aren't healed yet. Father, you are with us in this fallen world. Father, we ask for healing for those scars that people can't see. Father, we ask that you work through us to help others who have unhealed wounds and scars. Father, help us to remember that these things that have left these imprints on our soul, they're not to be ashamed of. They're things we can learn from, things to be proud of, that we have survived this with your help. Father, as we open up these altars to you, we ask that give us the courage to pray to you to meet our needs and help us to be part of your plan. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open.